Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parsha's Korach. The title of the shir tonight is Stopping the Plague with Incense. So tonight we're going to look at the psukim that deal with the ending of the terrible magefa that occurred after the destruction of Korach and all the followers of Korach. And there's an interesting component to the psukim that we're going to look at. We're going to look at a medrash, a gemara, based on it. And I think it gives us some deep insight into the nature of ketores. So if we look in source number one, it's Bamidbar Perek Yud Zayin, and it starts with Pasuk Tes. I'll read through the Psukim, as usual, and try to describe what they're saying, and then we'll ask our questions, and we'll analyze. So it says, Vayidaber ad Hashem el Moshe le'mor. So Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Hirumu mitoch ha'idah zos va'achaleh osam keraga va'yiplu al p'nehem. So Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, to Moshe, separate from the nation, and I'm going to destroy them instantaneously, and they fall on their faces. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, kach esamachta v'senaleh ish me'al mizbeach v'sim ketores, v'holeich me'ira l'hayda v'chaper aleihem ki yatsa ketzef m'lefnei ad Hashem heichel anagef. So Moshe says to Aaron, quickly go take the pan and put fire in the pan and put ketores in there, and go amongst the nation because Hashem's wrath has gone out and the plague has started. Vayikach Aaron kasher diber Moshe vayarat al tocha kahal v'hineh hechel ha-negef ba'am v'yitenes ha-ketores v'yichaper al-om. So Aaron does as Moshe tells him to do, as he commands him to do. He goes into the people where the plague is occurring, and he takes the ketores, and it provides atonement for the people. Vayamod bein hamisim uvein ha-chayim v'tiatzar magifa. And Aaron is standing amongst the dead and the living, and the magefa stops. There are 14,700 people who died in this plague, aside from the people who died because of the Korach debacle. So Aaron returns to Moshe, and the plague ends. So the Torah here describes the plague that occurs. It destroys many people, many Jewish people who complain to Moshe and Aaron after the story of Korach and the destruction of Korach, Dustin, Vaviram, and all the followers of Korach with the fire. They're all burned up by the fire, the followers. And then afterwards, there's this big plague because the Jews, instead of doing tshuva, they complain to Moshe and Aaron, and Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people. So Moshe quickly instructs Aaron to take ketores, to take a pan of fire and put ketores in it. And by doing so, it'll stop the plague. And the plague stops, and he saves the Jewish people from complete destruction, annihilation. So the question that we're going to take up is, what is the role of the ketores, the incense, in stopping the plague? How did it work that Moshe commands Aaron to bring the ketores into the people where the plague is occurring? And somehow the ketores has this strength, this power to stop the plague. Why? What is it about the ketores that allows it to end this devastating plague? So we'll look at Rashi, source number two. Rashi says on the Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says Vechiper Alehem, it says Razze Maser Lo Malach Hamavis Kisha Ala L'Rakia. This was a secret that the angel of death, the Malach Hamavis, gave to Moshe, and Moshe went up to the Rakia, the firmament. Shaketores Otzer Magifa Kedisav B'Masecha Shabbos. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, where it mentions the idea that the ketores was given to Moshe as a secret from by the Malach HaMaves that it would stop the Magefa. So of course, this is bizarre. What does it mean that the Malach HaMaves gave Moshe the secret? And again, same question as before. How does the Ketores work in terms of stopping this plague, stopping the Magefa? So we're going to look at this Gemara inside. But before we do this, there's one more Rashi that I want to read. So if you look in source number two, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, Vayamud Ben Hamisim. So what does it mean that Aaron was standing amongst the dead and the living? Achaz es ha-malach vehemidu al-karcho. So Aaron stopped the Malach HaMaves forcefully. He grabbed the Malach HaMaves and he stopped him from killing more people. Amar le ha-malach, hanach li lasos shlichusi. So the Malach says to Aaron, let go of me. I need to finish my job. Amar le Moshe, tzivani la'akev al yadcha. So Aaron said that Moshe told me to stop you. The Malach HaMaves says, I am the messenger of Hashem, and you're the messenger of Moshe, so you should listen to me. Aaron said that Moshe never instructs would not instruct me to do something that wasn't from Hashem. Im ena tamamin, hari HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe el Pesach l'omoy ba imi v'shal. If you don't believe me, come with me, and we'll go back and we'll ask. We'll ask Hashem. V'zeo shenem ar v'yashav Aaron el Moshe. That's what it means, that Aaron returned to Moshe. It's referring to this story where Aaron grabs the Malchum Avis, and they go back to Moshe, and they want to ask Hashem what the proper approach is. So again, it's strange. It's part of the Medrash before, where it says that Moshe was given the secret from the Malchum Avis as to how to stop the Magefa using incense. But then there's this story here that Aaron grabs onto the Malchum Avis and doesn't let him go. So what exactly is the meaning of this, of the Malchum Avis, and the way that the Ketores is capable of stopping the plague and stopping the Malchum Avis? And then the next pshat in Rashi is a little bit easier to understand. So we'll define the next pshat. He says, Davar Acher, Lama B'Ketores. So another possibility is, why was the Ketores chosen? Lefisha Yisrael Malizin Umaranim Achar Ketores Lomar Sam Hamavisu. The Jews were very scared of the Ketores, and they thought it was poisonous. Al Yado Meso Nadav Avihu. They saw that Nadav and Avihu, they brought Ketores, and they were killed. Al Yado Nisrafu Chamishim Masayim Ish. The 250 followers of Korach who wanted to challenge Aaron, they were destroyed with the Ketores. They put Ketores in their pans, and the fire consumed them. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiru She'otzer Magefahu. I'll show you, you'll see, that the Ketores has the capability of stopping a plague. V'achet hu amemis. And the real source that causes death is the chet, is really man's sin. So the second approach of Rashi, which is a little more, is a little easier to understand, is that the purpose of the Ketores, the reason why the Ketores was chosen, is to demonstrate that there's no intrinsic evil to the Ketores. The Ketores is not something that intrinsically kills people, but you see that it also has the power to stop a plague. And therefore, it was chosen as the method of stopping the plague. So what's the purpose, according to this shot of Rashi? Why was the Ketores chosen? So it seems like what Rashi is saying, just the first idea, the first svara, is that Rashi is saying that the Ketores was chosen so that the Jews could focus their energies on tshuva. And typically, a person tries to avoid placing blame on themselves for the cause of a plague or cause of bad happening or occurring. And Hashem was trying to show them, like Rashi says, that the chet is the memes, meaning that it would be natural for the Jews to avoid doing tshuva and to try to place the blame on the Ketores itself. And Hashem is trying to help them in stopping the magifa. He's trying to help them and give them an opening to doing tshuva. And the best way to do that is by demonstrating that the blame should be placed on themselves and not on anything outside of themselves. So the Ketores was chosen, according to the second shot of Rashi, in order to give the Jews an advantage vis-a-vis tshuva, to give them an opportunity to be able to view themselves as the cause of this chet and the cause of this destruction, as opposed to blaming it on an outside source, on the Ketores. So the Ketores was chosen to help the Jews do tshuva. So it's a little, that's understood, I think. That's a little bit easier to understand. But we're going to go back to the first part of Rashi. So Rashi says, in the first Rashi, in source number 2, that the Ketores was chosen because the Malchum Avis gave Moshe a secret sign, or a secret ability to stop plagues with this Ketores. So what is the nature of this story here? And how does the Ketores work that it stops a plague? So there's a very deep medrash, deep story that we're going to try to analyze. Very difficult to understand from a pshat standpoint. So, but I think that the Gemara is hinting at a much deeper idea, concept. So look in source number 3. This is the Gemara that Rashi quotes, and it starts on Peches Amud Beis in Gemara Shabbos, and it goes to the next daf. So we'll read through it, we'll do Rashi's, and we'll try to understand it. So it says, the Amar of Yehoshua ben Levi. So Yehoshua ben Levi was giving certain statements in the Gemara, and it continues with another statement, another story of his. B'shash Allah Moshe Lamarom, Amru Malachi Ashar Sifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Leilot Isha Beinenu. So when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, the Malachim, the angel, said to Hashem, what is this man born from a woman, this human being, what is he doing amongst us? Amar Lahen, Lekabel Torah Ba. So Hashem responds to the Malachim, and he says that Moshe came up here to receive the Torah. So Amru Lefanav, they said before Hashem, Chamuda Genuza Sheginuza Lach Tishame Os Veshivim Ba'arba Doros Kodem Shenivra Olam Ata Mevakesh Litna Levasar Vidam. So the Torah, which was so beloved, and it was stored away for 974 generations prior to the creation of the world. You want to give this to humanity? You want to give this to Busser Vidum, human beings? Ma enosh kisis garenu, venadum kisif yedenu adushem adoninu ma adushem chabuchal arat asher tenahu dechal shamayim. So what is man? What's the value of man that he should be remembered or thought of? And Hashem's glory and his name is amongst the arets, and he should place his majesty ala shamayim, meaning keep the Torah in shamayim, in the heavens, amongst the malachim. So the first part of the story is that the angels are trying to figure out why Hashem is giving the Torah to humanity. And they ask Hashem, they say basically that the Torah doesn't belong amongst man. If you look in Rashi, look in source number 4, Rashi explains, Tishame os v'shivim v'arba doros, 974 generations. The Torah was stored away 974 generations prior to the creation of the universe. Ba'alpayim shana shekadma Torah la'olam, hayu asidin Torah doros halalu lihibaros. 1,000 years before man was created, Shneamar davar tziva le'elef dor, v'ra kadosh baruch hu she'ena olam miskayim below Torah kol kach. The plan was originally that Hashem was going to give the Torah 1,000 years, in 1,000 years after the creation of man, but he saw that the Torah couldn't exist, the world couldn't exist without Torah. V'aviran v'lo baran nasna le'esrim v'sheish doros. He gave it earlier than he meant to, and he gave it after 26 generations of man. Harei chasu tishami os v'shivim ba'arba doros me'elef. So after 26, you have 974 left. So the Torah was in existence 974 generations prior to it being given to man. It's based on the pasuk, and it was given to man in 26 generations after man was created. So the basic particulars, I think the particulars of the story are going to be hard to define, but the basic point is that they're saying that the Torah was created or stored away prior to the creation of man, and why should it be given to man? So that's the argument. And keep it amongst the heavens. So Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to the story. So go back to source number 3. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Hashem says back to Moshe, Hechzir Lahen Teshuvah. Try to answer their questions. Meaning they're saying that man doesn't deserve the Torah. Now you have to answer. So Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Misyare Ani Shema Yisrfuni Behevel Sheva Piyam. So Moshe says, I'm scared to talk to the angels because they'll burn me with the breath of their mouth. So Amar Lo Achos Bekise Kevodi V'chozer Lahen Teshuva. So what Hashem says to Moshe, grab onto my throne, my king's throne, and then you'll answer them. Shenemar Ma'aches Pnei Kise Parshas Alav Ananu, that he caused Moshe to grab on to the face of his throne, and then he put a cloud upon him to protect him. The Amar Rabbi Nachum Melamed Shapirish Shakai Meziv Shchinaso V'Ananu Alav. So Hashem created a cloud that protected Moshe from the Malachim. Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Torah. Okay, so basically the second part of the story, the first part is the Malachim, and they claim that man shouldn't get the Torah. The second part is that Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe to answer them, give them some good reasoning, some good logic as to why man does deserve the Torah, but Moshe is afraid. And Hashem says, I'll give you protection, just grab onto my kisei kavod and I'll protect you. Okay, this whole story is strange. So the first question is, what's the nature of this story? It's bizarre. But we're going to break it down. So the part number one is the complaints of the Malachim, and part number two is that Moshe is scared of the Malachim, and Hashem gives him protection. So now let's look at his argument back to them. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Torah She'ata Nosein Li Maksiv Ba. So he said before the Malachim that the Torah that you're giving me, Hashem, the Torah that you're giving me, what does it say in it? Anochi Yad Hashem Elkecha Asher Hoteisicham Eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Amar Lehen, Moshe said to the Malachim, Le Mitzrayim Yiradasam, did the Malachim go down to Mitzrayim? Lefaro Hishtab Dosam? Were you enslaved to Paro? Torah Lama Tehelechem. What is Torah to you? Shuv Maksiv Ba. So that's one argument. Moshe says to the Malachim that the Torah talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You didn't go down to Mitzrayim. Malachim were in Mitzrayim. They weren't enslaved. Shuv Maksiv Be Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Bein Agoyim Atem Shirim She'ovdim Avodah Zarah. Another pasuk in the Torah says that you can't have other gods. And Hashem says to Moshe says to the Malachim, "Do you guys are you amongst the other nations that you worship Avodah Zarah that you need this pasuk?" Shuv maksiv ba zachor shiyom haShabbos l'kadsho klom atem osim malacha shatem tzrichen shavus. Moshe says to the malachim, do you need Shabbos, that you do malacha, you need to rest? Shuv maksiv ba losisa, it says you're not allowed to take Hashem's name in vain, to, you can't do a shvua shav. Masa umatan yesh b'nechem, do you have business that it would cause you to do a shvua? Shuv maksiv ba kabeidis avicha v'asimecha avaim yesh lachem. So he says back to them also, there's a mitzvah to honor your parents. Do malachim have parents? Shuv maksiv ba lo sirtzach, lo sinof, lo signov. Kina yesh b'nechem, it says that you're not allowed to kill, murder, you're not allowed to kidnap, and you can't commit adultery. Do you guys have any jealousy amongst you? Yetzer hara yesh b'nechem, do you have a yetzer hara? So miyad hodu lo l'Kadosh Baruch Hu shenamar ad Hashem Adoneinu ma'adir shimcha ilu ve'ilu tzna hodecha l'shamayim loksev. So they, after Moshe makes these brilliant arguments, so the malachim agree with the fact that man deserves the Torah. So this is step number three in the story. So step number three is that the malachim end up agreeing with the arguments of Moshe. That Moshe makes pretty coherent arguments that the Torah deals with Mitzrayim, Kabeis Levicha, all these examples that don't relate to the angels, and therefore man does deserve the Torah, and they agree. So then this is the last part. Miyad kol echad ve'echa nase lo ohev. They all loved him after that. Umaser lo davar. The malachim gave him different ideas. Shnemar lisa lamaram shaviso shvi lakachta matnos ba'adam. You went up to the Shemayim and you took captives and you took gifts for man. Bischar shekaruucha adam lakachas matanos. Based on the reward that you're called man, you took matanos. If you go to the next page on Rashi, it says, this is important Rashi, but adam bischar, two lines down, shecharfucha v'karucha adam notzer ma'adama lashon shefelos. From the fact that you're called Adam and you come from the land, which is lowliness, shvelus, so that's why they rewarded him and they gave him certain gifts. Af malach hamavis maser lo davar. Back to the Gemara. Even the malach hamavis gave him something. Shenemar vayitines haketores vayichaper lo'am ve'omer vayamud bein hamisim uvein achayim. I loved amar le mi haviyada. And so too the malach hamavis gave him the ketores, this secret ketores to stop the plague. And if he didn't give it to him, how would Moshe know about this? Okay, so that's the fourth part. So the Gemara is a strange Gemara, but there's four parts to the Gemara. I think in order to analyze this Gemara, we have to break it down into its components. But I think that there's a deeper idea. I don't think we should learn this as a literal Gemara, but I think the Gemara is trying to convey an idea about the Torah. So the first part, again, just to summarize the different parts of the Gemara, the part number one is that the Malachim can't understand why Hashem's giving the Torah to man. And part number two is that Moshe is afraid of the Malachim. Part number three is that Moshe makes his arguments against the Malachim, that the Torah does belong in man's hands. And finally, the Malachim love Moshe, and they give him all these gifts, and the last gift is the Malachim Avis gives him Ketores. So if I were to break down this Gemara, that's how I would break it down, into those four parts. So now that we have them broken down... Yeah, go ahead.
Funny that it seems like the Malachim are objecting to man receiving the Torah, but it seems like they don't really know anything what the Torah is about.
Great question. Yeah. So great question. Your question is, Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments are very obvious arguments. So what exactly, how do they fail to see these arguments? They're not deep arguments. They're pretty simple. I think most of us would make these arguments. So what exactly is the Medrash trying to convey with these arguments? So I think that's a great question. Very important question. I think that's the essential question of the Gemara in order to break it open. But that's the question. The question is, the Malachim are making arguments that the man doesn't deserve the Torah, but Moshe's arguments against the Malachim are obvious. Of course the Malachim shouldn't keep the Torah, that it's for man. It talks about all these areas, these ideas that relate to man, and Mitzrayim, and Kabeis Avicha. So what exactly is the argument here, the two sides of the argument, and how did the Malachim miss the arguments of Moshe? So before we answer it, and then we get to the final idea, so I saw this one of the Pirushim on this Gemara, and he also gives a funny idea concept for this Gemara, but I think he gives us an opening to understanding this Gemara. So the Radbaz, look in source number 5, and it was quoted by the Daf al Daf. He's one of the Achronim who brings down different Mefarshim on the Gemaras. So it says, Kasav HaRadbaz B'Shelos V'Tshuvos. The Radbaz wrote in his Chilos v'tshuvos. V'yesh l'hakshos, he has a question. V'chi ha-malachim lo yodim ha-tshuva hazu. It's the very question that we all just asked, that you just asked on the phone, which is that how did the malachim not know the answers of Moshe? V'chi lo yadu sha-torah k'shura l'masem sh'esrachshu ba'olam hazeh. Do they not know that the Torah is tied to different activities that occur in this world, in the human world? Toldos ha-enoshos ha-avos, yitzias mitzrayim, ha-midbar, ha-mitzvos, sh'shayachos, l'vnei adam, lo l'malachim. There's so many examples of different elements of the Torah that are tied to humanity and not to Malachim. Elamai yislach lemeimar. So what are you going to say? Shehema yukorim b'Torah kri acheres, ruchnias, b'li pisuk tevos, al derech shemusav shalakadosh baruch hu. So he wants to say that the Malachim had a different kriya of the Torah. It was a ruchnias, is a metaphysical type of reading, where they didn't have the same breakdown of letters and words that we do. Al derech shemusav shalakadosh baruch hu, based on the letters of God's name. Well, I'll explain this, I think. V'hein amru azal, kol ha-Torah kula shemusav shalakadosh baruch hu. Chazal say that the whole Torah is made up of the names of Hashem. V'hodiyem ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu sheyesh la-Torah kri acheres, gashmias, al derech pisak tevos, b'inyonei b'nei adam, b'toma v'tahara, v'iser v'heter, u'pater v'chai, v'chein shar dinau. So he wants to say that there's two types of readings of the Torah. There's a reading of the Torah where there's no break between the words, and it's just one uniform type of reading. And then there's the reading of the words and the concepts that man understands, and it's the Torah's reading in our framework, in the man's framework. The acharei shiadat she'elaseich kitziva hakel yisale sheyichtivu es haTorah belo nekudos v'ta'amim kasher haisa be'omna ito yisbarach. So the Torah doesn't have any vowels when you in the actual cloth of the Torah, and there's no nukudos or ta'amim, there's no vowels, there's no way to pronounce the letters, no way to know, just from the Torah itself. And he left it that way because to reflect the fact that there's two ways of reading the Torah. There's a metaphysical method and there's a gashmias, there's a physical. Kadesh Mishi Yachala Hasig Yasig. He who understands can understand. V'chein amri yodeh ya b'tzalel etzaref osio shenivru b'ham shamayim ba'aretz. So b'tzalel, it says, b'tzalel was able to put together the letters in which created the world. U'masar ha'nekudos v'atamim kishar Torah Shebaal Peh. So the way to read the Torah was a mesorah, and like Torah Shebaal Peh, and how to pronounce words and how to separate the words and pronounce them properly. Shehi perish l'torah shebichsav. The Torah Shebaal Peh is an explanation of a Torah shebichsav, and the nekudos, the vowels were given as a mesora. V'adavar yadua ki ha'osios b'lo nekudos v'ta'amim yesh b'hem mashmoyos harbe v'tzirufim shonim v'krios hafchios. Without the vowels, if you put the letters and you arrange them whatever way you want, you'll come out with different understandings. V'lachin lo nisnu ha'nekudos v'ta'amim lichase b'sefer Torah. That's why when you look at the Sefer Torah, there's no nekudos v'ta'amim. V'yichtivu b'chumashim mishim es lasol sa'ad Hashem. It's only written down in a chumash because we have no choice. K'deshul yishkach Torah ha'kriya kishar Torah shba'al peh. We don't want to lose the proper reading of the Torah. So they wrote down the vowels in our chumash. But really, the Torah is meant to be given in a way where there's no vowels because you can arrange the letters differently from the way we have it. Trying to reflect this idea that there's two different kriyos. There's a kriya of ruchnias and a kriya of gashmias. You can answer a lot of different reason, ideas, doubts. So why weren't a lot of the stories written down in Torah Shebaal Peh? There's a lot of different arrangements of the letters that reveal secrets. Every letter in the Torah has a purpose. V'lo tiferes hakriya, v'lo b'peh rofe, k'lashon yishmol, kasher chashu rabim, v'sim tamid klal zek, neged einecha, v'tatzliach v'ani arev. So there's a lot of depth to the Torah, and each letter in the Torah has significance. It's not just accidental. So the Rabbaz is saying that there's two readings of the Torah. There's a reading in the framework of the metaphysical, and then there's the physical reading of the Torah, the way that man understands the reading of the Torah. And I think there's a, I never read the book, but I know that the Bible codes is kind of like that idea. The Bible codes, they take the Torah and they put it in different arrangements and they try to put the letters together and they were, I never read this, but they try to discover past events and history. So the Radbaz is kind of hinting to an idea similar to that. I don't think he's saying exactly that, but he's hinting to the idea that the Torah was written in a way where it wasn't clear how to pronounce it. And the reason is because there's many different ways of arranging the letters to gain different ideas and concepts from Torah. And it's not, there's a, he's saying that there's two frameworks. There's the metaphysical, Ruchnius, and then there's the physical, the Gashmius. So he's saying that the Malachim had one understanding, one reading of the Torah, and they didn't have the same reading that man has. Man has a different reading of the Torah. So that's why they didn't really understand Moshe's answers, because they didn't have the same reading, and Mitzrayim was maybe a different word to them or a different idea. So they didn't have the same exact reading as Moshe, so they didn't really understand or grasp Moshe's arguments. But still, we have to understand what he means here. What does it mean that there's two different readings of the Torah? And what is that concept? Can we take that concept a little bit further and analyze that? And also, there's two other parts to the Medrash that it doesn't really explain. One part is part number two, where Moshe is afraid to take on the Malachim, and part number four, where the Malachim give him this these secrets, and they give him the Ketores, the idea of the Ketores, the Malachim Avos. So what exactly is the meaning of this Medrash? So I think the Radbaz is hinting to a very deep idea, deep concept, which is that there's two frameworks of Torah. There's the framework of Torah as an abstract, conceptual book that reflects on God, purely reflects on God. And then there's the, like he says, there's a physical concept, the actual physicality of the Torah, like tzitzis and mitzvos and aspects of the Torah that relate to man. So the idea is that there are certain elements of Torah that man can't grasp. The abstract elements, the elements of the Malachim, that the Malachim have a different reading means that the Malachim have a... The idea is that there are concepts in the Torah that go way beyond man's capabilities because they're detached from the physical and they only relate to knowledge of God outside of the physical, and man can't grasp those, but they do exist in Torah. And then there are the other elements. There are the elements of man, which are the physical elements of Torah that reflect on Hashem, that reflect on God. But man is capable of grasping within our framework because, you know, man can't go beyond the physical. We're lacking in our ability to go beyond the physical. So I think that's a critical idea. The Gemara is teaching us, based on the Radbaz, that there's two aspects to Torah. There's a metaphysical, abstract aspect where all the ideas of Torah really tie back to God, and they're really just try to understand Hashem on a deeper level. And many of those ideas are out of the grasp of humanity. And that's the Torah of the Malachim, the Torah in the framework of just purely abstract concepts of Hashem and how Hashem operates and how he works and as much knowledge as Hashem that man can't grasp. And then there's other aspects of the Torah that are tied to man, that are really tied to man, and man can grasp because man's mind is limited by the physical. And that's what we mean. I hope this idea is clear, but that's what we mean when man dies. So when man dies, his soul separates from the physicality, and he's able to achieve or understand concepts beyond what he was when he was living. But the Gemara is trying to highlight that there's two aspects to Torah that exist in Torah. There's the purely conceptual elements of Torah that really reflect on Hashem in a deeper sense, and then there's the aspects of Torah that man can grasp because they're attached to the physical world. Like you read, like Mitzrayim, Kabbalas Avicha Vesimecha, these are all physical concepts. And they teach us ideas about God, and they take we can abstract from them, but there are certain ideas that man can't grasp. So perhaps the Gemara is saying that it's a devaluation of Torah. What is the Malachim? What is their argument? Their argument is that when you take the abstract, these concepts of God that the Malachim understand, that are in the metaphysical world that man can't grasp, and you dilute them to the physical, perhaps it's a devaluation of Torah, because that's what they're saying. They're saying that the Torah was created before man's creation, meaning that the Torah contains ideas that are far beyond man's grasp, and by making or giving the Torah to man, you're taking away from its pure value, its value in terms of being a book or a sefer that really reflects ideas that man can't grasp. So why are you devaluing the Torah? Why are you giving it to man and taking away from its abstract nature? So that's the argument. The argument is that Torah really, it really belongs in the purely abstract framework, not in the physical framework, but in the conceptual framework alone. And then the Gemara says that Moshe is afraid, and then he returns with these tshuvos, and he's given these gifts from the Malachim. So what does this teach us? So it teaches us that, number one, man, why was Moshe afraid? So Moshe wasn't afraid of physically dying. I mean, he wasn't going to be killed by the Malachim. But the idea was that Moshe needed a certain level of security in order to be able to debate with this level of abstraction. So even Moshe, who was on the greatest level of humanity, he needed a certain level of security, a certain level of psychological and mental security in order to be able to debate, in order to be able to think and conceptualize on the level of the Malachim, or at least close to it. He needed a certain level of security. And this is important for man as well. These ideas aren't just to teach us about the story, but they teach us ideas about ourselves. So the second idea is teaching us that in order for us, for man, to grasp concepts that are more abstract, we can't be afraid. We have to have a certain security, but the security, it can't be an ego security. It has to be there. Over here, there was hashgacha; it was from God. So the idea was that God gave or helped Moshe attain the level of security necessary for Moshe to debate on that level and to understand ideas and concepts on the level of the Malachim. So what is his arguments? His arguments are, I believe, the third part is that Moshe makes great arguments. His arguments are that even though man is limited and he's flawed, and the physical should be a devaluation of Torah, but because of man's flaws, it allows for further development of understanding God. And he says, do you have kinah between you? Meaning the way that Hashem fashions the Torah to deal with man's emotions, deal with man's needs, and his needs by Mitzrayim and being enslaved, or his needs in terms of removing himself from other gods. So just understanding the way the Torah was fashioned for man's purpose or for man's benefit itself adds to the idea of God, adds to our understanding of Hashem as a creator. So Moshe's argument is that the Malachim are saying that the Torah really belongs in a more abstract way. And in the most abstract form is really the ideal form of Torah. And then we see that Moshe really needs a certain level of security in order to understand and fashion arguments on the level, that abstract level. And his arguments back is no, that really Torah is given to man because man's frailties and weaknesses are really a benefit in terms of understanding or gaining a greater understanding about Hashem. That the way that Torah fashions itself to deal with man's emotions, to deal with Kabeis Avicha Vesimecha, honoring your parents, the physical world, is really, really adds to the perfection of Torah, because man can gain, and even the world can gain from this type of Torah, from Torah given to man. So at the end it says that that they really embraced Moshe, and they gave him all these secrets. So what's that idea? And it says, B'schar shekar'ucha adam lakachas matanos. So I think the idea, the final idea in the Medrash, and it'll tie to the Ketores, is that when man accepts his limitations, when he accepts the fact that his limitations, his physical limitations, the fact that he has kina, the fact that he has all these physical attributes, he has parents, he was enslaved, all these ideas, when man can accept it and not try to exceed his limitations or not try to, but really accept his limitations and understand how his limitations, humanity's limitations, can add to the perfection of Hashem or understanding Hashem. So then, at that point, that's really the highest level. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was given gifts, meaning he was given understanding beyond the capacity of most men. So the idea is, b'schar shekarucha adam, the fact that Moshe was able to fully accept his limitations, the limitations of man, but view it in a certain capacity, view it as a perfection, as really a means of really mankind understanding God and opening up ideas about Hashem that wouldn't exist otherwise. So because of that, he was able to gain insight from the Malachim. That's the idea. So there's really, it's a deep concept, but I just wanted to summarize it again. Maybe it's a little, if anybody has any questions, just stop me. But I think that there's four parts. Really the main idea, the first part is that the Malachim are saying that the Torah really belongs in an abstract form, and that's its ideal form. And then the idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu is showing you that in order for man to debate or to think in an abstract level, to fashion arguments in an abstract level, he needed a certain level of psychological security that came from Hashem, that came from God. And then the third point is that his arguments are that man's frailties, man's weaknesses are really a way or a method for us to gain further, greater understanding of Hashem. So we shouldn't look at it as a devaluation of Torah, but we should look at it as means a means of understanding Hashem further. That Hashem should fashion the Torah to deal with man's issues and man's needs is really another method or another way for us to understand Hashem and how he operates. And then finally, the idea is that because Moshe was able to convey this and really accept the limitations of man and that he's an ish and he's me'adama, so only then was he able to really become friends with them, to grasp the ideas, those abstract ideas that a human being, a normal human being, can't grasp. Moshe was able to, because he was able to fully recognize the nature of man and how it relates to understanding Hashem. Okay, so what does this have to do with Ketores? So the Ketores, I believe, relates to this concept, and then we'll come back to our Parsha. So the Rambam, we don't have to look at it inside, but there's an idea that I heard. The basic idea of Ketores is that it was brought every day, but the special Ketores was brought on Yom Kippur. And what would happen, if you look in source number 6, we don't have to read through the whole thing, but the Kohen Gadol would bring the machta, the shovel, into the Kodesh Kadashim. He would place it down, and then he would put the Ketores on this hot shovel, and it would create smoke. And the smoke would fill up the whole entire Beis HaMikdash, and everyone would leave, and everyone would be gone. Nobody would be in the, except for the Kohen Gadol, and it would create this great smoke in the Beis HaMikdash. And then after this event, the Kohen Gadol would say this tefillah. So I once heard from a shir from Rabbi Cheit many years ago that the idea of the Ketores on Yom Kippur is, what's the concept of the smoking up of the Beis HaMikdash? It's that man on this holiest day has to recognize that when it comes to God, when it comes to Hashem, that we lack full clarity. And the idea is that in entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the highest, the holiest place, the place where which is most connected to Hashem, we smoke it up and we put incense in there to smoke everything up, to recognize or to reflect the idea that man understands his limitations when it comes to understanding Hashem. And that's the barrier of the smoke. That smoke is typically something that you can't see through. You know, and the idea of smoke is that man can't perceive Hashem clearly. That we always lack clarity. But that's really our understanding, or something that we should really hold on to and really grasp that concept, that man is limited in our understanding of Hashem, and we go as far as we can, but ultimately there's a barrier between us and Hashem and our understanding of Hashem. And that is the essential idea of Ketores and Yom Kippur. So how does that relate to the Malgefa and the Malachim Aves? So I think that it fits in perfectly with the Medrash. The Medrash is showing us that the idea is that man, in a time of need, when he's being destroyed through the Hashgacha, through Midas Adin, the Malachim Aves is the messenger of Hashem, man has to really be tied to this concept of humanity, that our frailty, our weaknesses are really a means or are really a capability of the Torah really expressing itself in the fullest sense. And the Ketores is really an expression of that. It's man recognizing his limitations when it comes to understanding Hashem. So in the time of Magefa, when the Jews are being destroyed by the Hashgacha, so we have to embrace our faults and really try to highlight, the Ketores highlights the idea that man's limitations, man's faults, are really something that could really enhance the Torah and the expression of the Torah, and our not that we have a right to exist, but for us to embrace that our value in terms of our existence is really to enhance the Torah and to enhance its ability to reflect on Hashem is really something, a critical idea in the time of destruction. So the idea of a Ketores is really to highlight that point, to highlight the concept that man's limitations are, we're aware of our limitations, and we're willing to accept our limitations, and by doing so, we also are able to express the perfection of the Torah, that man was given the Torah in his framework, in the framework of man, in order to bring out more ideas, more concepts about how Hashem exists and how Hashem relates to man. So the idea of the Ketores is that it's almost like a last-ditch effort, that when the Jews are being destroyed by the Hashgacha, we have to express the concept that we accept our limitations when it comes to understanding Hashem, and we're not going to exceed those limitations. And by doing so, we're worthy of existing, or at least our existence should have some value in terms of expressing the fullest expression of Torah as a means of understanding Hashem. So that is the last idea. So the next point we'll skip tonight, source number 7. Maybe we'll do it for a different shir. But really, I just want to summarize this year. It's a little bit on the difficult side, more philosophical, but I just want to summarize the points. So the questions we had in this year was, what's the goal of the Ketores? Where does the Ketores come from in terms of stopping the plague after Korach? And there's two ideas Rashi quotes. One is from Our Gemara in Shabbos, which says that the Malach Mavis gave Moshe this secret. And the other idea is that Ketores was chosen because of the fact that the Jews were scared of the Ketores. They thought it had a poison to it. So Hashem chose the Ketores to show the Jews that it's not the Ketores that kills, but it's really the Chet. So we said for Rashi, the first point was that Rashi showing us that the Ketores was chosen in order to give Jews an opportunity to do tshuva. And had the Ketores not been chosen, the Jews would have blamed it on something else, and it would have been harder for them to do tshuva. And whenever Hashem uses Hashgacha to save the Jews, he tries to give them insight, give them the ability to do tshuva. So this was kind of insight to doing tshuva, not to blame the Ketores. And then we saw this Gemara. This Gemara had four parts. The first part is that Malachim, they complain about man getting the Torah, Ma'enoshkisis Gerenu. Then Moshe is scared, and Hashem has to give him this protection. Moshe makes arguments, and then at the end, he's given secrets from the Malachim. So we said, based on the Radbaz says, how do the Malachim not know Moshe's arguments? And he says that there are two frameworks of the Torah. There's the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. And we explained that the Torah has two parts to it. There's the purely conceptual elements that man can't grasp about Hashem, because we're tied to the physical world, and it limits our minds and our ability and our understanding. And then there's the Torah and our framework. And the Malachim's argument is that the ideal form of Torah is in the abstract sense. And Moshe is showing them, no, that really the frailty of man, the weaknesses of man, are really an opportunity to gain more insight into God. And the Torah is expressed fully, not just in the framework of the abstract, but also in the framework of the practical. And that was his argument against the Malachim. And then we saw also two aspects of Moshe. That Moshe, in order to argue, in order to understand, he had to have a certain psychological security. And he was only capable of gaining that or attaining that through Hashem's help, with Hashem's help. So, and then at the end, he's given secrets. It means that at the end, we said that Moshe, Bishchar Shekarucha Adam, that Moshe is embracing and highlighting the frailty of man, the weaknesses of the physical, the fact that there, man lives amongst the Goyim, and we have the potential to worship Avodah Zarah, and we have all these emotions and instincts. So man's embracing of that is the only way for really man to achieve a higher level. When you try to exceed your level, when you try to view yourself as a malach, if you're driven for that, so you're not going to succeed in understanding abstract knowledge. But if you accept your weaknesses and you accept the weaknesses of man, so only then can you truly understand these ideas, these concepts. And that's the last part. That's what it means that the Malachim were friends with him. It means that he was able to understand greater knowledge, knowledge that a normal human being can't understand, because he was able to embrace his humanity and his physicality. Then finally, the last part is this idea of Ketores. So we said that, based on a shiur that I heard, that the Ketores on Yom Kippur is man's understanding or acceptance of his limitations. And when man is being threatened and being destroyed, when he recognizes his limitations relative to God, so that's really a perfection. And because of that perfection, there's some worthiness of existence. Because when man accepts his limitations, his human limitations, there's a worthiness there. Because in doing so, it shows or it allows the Torah to express itself in the full sense. To express itself not just in the abstract sense, but also in the human sense, in our world. All right, so that's the end of the shiur tonight. Anybody have any questions on the shiur? All right, thank you so much. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.